We've been examining a rhetorical perspective with an interest in determining how effectively communication deploys the available means of persuasion. We've posited five central critical questions to help us make that determination. Questions relating to decoding, acceptance, persistence, resistance, and application. And we've noted that the overwhelming majority of research and theory on persuasion has focused on those first two elements, decoding and acceptance, and therefore that there are relatively few resources with which to ground intelligent judgments about persistence, resistance, and application. One idea, however, emerging late in the 20th century, helps us a great deal in predicting all three. The likelihood of persistence, resistance, and application are all linked to the idea of process. Now, remember, in the 20th century, researchers were very confused because they had research findings about attitude change which seemed to contradict each other. And they had no real good way of explaining that contradiction because they utilized a product view. That is, they were focused on the question of whether or not attitude change occurred, rather than the processes by which it occurred. The shift from a product to a process view helped explain those research results which previously seemed to be contradictory. And so it's little wonder that in his book on communication and attitudes in the 21st century, Perloff writes that we cannot understand communication effects without understanding process. The key process which has emerged in that research is the process of cognitive elaboration, and we can distinguish cognitive elaboration as being relatively high or relatively low. What is cognitive elaboration? Well, elaboration refers to the amount of mental effort, the duration and intensity of thought that an audience gives in decoding a message. And we should note that that level of thought has been up to this point, mostly for the purposes of convenience, been distinguished in either-or terms, high elaboration or low elaboration. As the authors of the ELM put it, central processing versus peripheral processing. As the authors of the HSM put it, systematic processing rather than heuristic processing. And others who have studied the same basic distinction have distinguished between deep and shallow, reflective and reflexive, mindful and mindless, system two and system one, and effortful versus automatic. A way of getting at this distinction in a level of elaboration as either high, mindful elaboration or low, relatively mindless elaboration. Again, this has been primarily a distinction forged on convenience. It's easier to talk about high or low, mindless or mindful, than it is to talk about a point on a continuum. Nevertheless, the authors of the ELM stress, the research results do suggest that a continuum is a more accurate way of thinking about this than strictly dual process. And therefore, you know, for this and other reasons, I think that the big distinction we'll find going forward is not that there are dual processes or two paths, that this either-or way of seeing it is not necessarily the most powerful way of seeing it. But it is enormously important to us, given the historical moment that we're living in, because of the distinction between assuming that there is only one way that people come to attitude change and assuming that there is more than one way. Whether that ends up being two or three or four or five or a million, the important point is the recognition now that it is more than one. And so I want to stress this. Keep in mind that people who adopt the same attitude may have engaged in different amounts of elaboration, and those who adopt different attitudes may have engaged in similar amounts of elaboration. So those vary independently, whether they end up agreeing or disagreeing, and the amount of effort, high or low, that they engage in operate independently of one another. Same path, different conclusion, different conclusions,